If I could dream.
Is your website losing you money instead of making it? Slow load times, outdated design, or a clunky mobile experience could be driving those customers away. At SiteHypeDesigns.com, we turn bad websites into high-performing, customer-winning machines. Our expert designers create sleek, fast, and SEO-optimized sites that don't just look good, they convert visitors into paying customers. Don't let a weak website hold you back. Visit SiteHypeDesigns.com today for a free website audit and discover how we can take your business to the next level. SiteHypeDesigns.com. Websites that work as hard as you do.
For our Around the House listeners, use promo code Eric G for a free website audit and a free half-hour consultation call.
This is one of my favorite shows of the last year. Hi, this is Eric G with Around the House. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We're going to be talking with David Applebaum, architect of the stars. He has done a who's who of Hollywood and Southern California. And we're going to talk about Elon Musk's house that was all over the news this last week because he was on the Joe Rogan podcast talking about selling his homes. David Applebaum designed one of them originally for the Queen of England. And we're going to talk about it in this one. Now, make sure you listen to the rest of the interview because I'm going to be posting up at all next week in the midweek special. So make sure you catch that because there's so much you can't make this show. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Now we just gotta get you on the radio. Yeah, you gotta get on the radio. If the kids can only hear you, they go out of control. You gotta get on the radio.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I've got a special guest here on the phone, my good friend David Applebaum, architect of the stars, and one of your homes has been all over the news the last few weeks, and thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Eric, it is always fun to talk to you, and thank you. I know I'm special in the fact that have become really good friends, but I'm just me. I just happen to have a house that is making a lot of press for some reason. Well, not for some reason. A house that I had designed 30 years ago was bought 8 years ago by Elon Musk, and he is now selling all of his properties, and this is one of them.
Yeah. And it's funny because I didn't even realize that that house was tied to you until he started telling the story on the Joe Rogan interview about the neighbor across the street that is world famous. And I went, you and I had this conversation on the phone one time about, I think this is the same house. And sure enough, it is.
Yeah. It's at least Elon Musk got to get inside Gene Wilder's house. I never had that pleasure. But of course, nobody knew it at the time. But Gilda was very, very sick and actually a month away from passing when I was at his front door. And he, I don't know if anybody remembers the story, but I had an embarrassing first encounter with him and Gilda. When I first moved to Los Angeles, I was trying to get to the Beverly Center. I was told to turn right on Beverly, and I did. And there was no mall, and turned around and circled several times, and then asked a couple holding hands if they could give me directions. It turned out to be Gene Wilder and Gilda Radner, and we didn't have the paparazzi then that we have now. And I had no idea. Nobody had any idea that they were dating at the time. And mm-hmm. Here are these two icons. And Gene Wilder tells me, oh, you turned right on Beverly Drive. You want Beverly Boulevard. It's another block up. And it was just, I don't know why I felt so embarrassed, but I was so embarrassed and thought I looked like an idiot. And then some 10 years later, I'm working on a house on Chillon Road in Bel Air, the most difficult permitting process I have ever been through. It took more than 3 years to get a building permit.
Wow.
And this particular, all of Bel Air has this problem, but this particular site had maybe the worst soil conditions. And it took about 2 years to get the city to agree that if we removed all of the soil to bedrock and put in a series of retaining walls that were tied to the bedrock and create what they called keys, mm-hmm. and then recompact good soil that was held into the bedrock with these keys, they would allow us to build. That was a lot of earthwork. So the client said, I don't want to talk to my neighbors and tell them I'm doing all this dirt. They're going to hate me. So I was then forced to go to both of the next door neighbors and then the three across the street neighbors from him and both sides. And it turned out that across and over was, well, I knocked on the door and Gene Wilder opens the door and I'm thinking, oh, great. Well, luckily he won't remember me. And without skipping a beat, he says, still can't find the Beverly Center.
I love this story.
And we had a lovely chat. I still felt very embarrassed.
Of course.
But yeah, that was as far as I got, was that part of the front door. But when it went up for sale, Elon Musk, I suppose, has just as much affection for Gene Wilder as all of us do. But I certainly did. And he bought the property for two reasons. One, he wanted to keep it. And from what I understand, whoever buys it has to keep it as is and not change it, which that's going to be a tough one. I mean, I've worked on several homes that were historical precedents.
Sure.
And I remember in one, we were redoing the bathroom. And, you know, in the 20s, bathrooms were just stupid.
Yeah.
You know, they were either 4 square feet and you couldn't take a shower. Well, you could take a shower, but you couldn't lather up because there was no room.
Sure.
Or they were 500 square feet and you had a toilet in the middle of the room and a little itty bitty shower in the other corner. And the city wanted me to recreate that stupid spread out bathroom. And I can understand why you wouldn't want it to look different on the outside. But as I said to him, I said, I guess I'm lucky the client didn't want to redo the kitchen because you'd probably make me want to buy a 1920s stove.
Exactly.
And he looked me in the eye and said, yep.
Oh, brutal.
Pretty regretfully, this job had been photographed in Life magazine. So they knew exactly what it looked like and they knew exactly what they wanted it to look like again. And my client wanted one of those top-end washer-bottom Totos.
Yeah.
Which, of course, wouldn't fit in the situation that they had us in. And so we had to do – that was maybe the hardest I've ever worked, was that one stinking bathroom.
Just to pass all the historical codes.
Well, yeah. So speaking of toilets, because somebody asked me about that. So the house that – Elon Musk is selling was originally designed for the guy that was lined up before Ronald Reagan got shot to become the ambassador to the court of St. James, which is the one non-political ambassadorship in the United States. It's the ambassadorship to the king and queen, in this case, the queen of England and the royal family, not the English Parliament.
Interesting.
So we had in this particular house what we affectionately called the throne room, which was a room that had three locks and no one was allowed in there except the queen, and no one's bum was allowed to touch that toilet.
Wow.
But hers. And there was a station for a guard to guard her while she was on the toilet. And someone asked what kind of toilet was specified, and the answer was the top of the line Toto, like that. But I heard that there is a special bespoke toilet. The royal family puts their seals on things that then get sold as officially sanctioned by the royal family.
Yeah.
And I believe that there were three of those toilets that were shipped and stored in the garage. Sealed,
mm-hmm.
so that when the queen would come, they would unseal it, replace the toilet that nobody ever sat in with a bespoke toilet.
Wow, that's incredible, man.
Yeah, there's such a thing as a bespoke toilet, believe it or not.
Okay, the more you know, ding. That's awesome. Well, and so you spent a lot of time on that house designing it for there. How long was the construction of that place after you spent the, 3 years of doing that?
The construction was the typical, I always say that you could consider a house construction to be very much like a baby's term, in that mm-hmm. it's 9 months. This being a larger house was a little more than a year.
We'll be right back with David Applebaum just after these important messages. Make sure you catch us on Facebook Around the House with Eric G. If you want to have a question for the show, hit us up on our website, which is aroundthehouseonline.com. And then make sure you tune into the show this next week on the podcast on Wednesday. Listen for the midweek special, because we will have this and the extended hours of our interview with David Applebaum. That way you catch all of it, because we're only going to be able to fit part of this into the show. So I want you to not miss this, because we're going to hit some super important topics and a few famous people as well. We'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Stay tuned.
Jennifer Lopez, and I could buy you a ring that's bigger than Kobe's. No time for me, stories of mine. Don't take the call. No time for me, stories of mine. Have a gone.
What's up? This is Dick
and Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Well, if you're just joining us, we're in the middle of our interview with David Applebaum, Architect of the Stars. And I wanted to bring him on so we could talk about Elon Musk's house that made headlines this last week and the week and a half or so, because he is selling all his homes. And this one house started to get talked about in the Joe Rogan podcast this last week. So I wanted to hit it because I know David had designed this 30 years ago. So enough of me talking. Let's get out of the show and get back to David Applebaum.
But okay. The construction was not the only thing that made it difficult was the number of dirt trucks that were running in and out of the site. First, taking that nasty dirt out.
Yep.
And then putting the new, better dirt in. And, you know, you put it in, the law in Los Angeles, at least, is you put in 2 feet worth of dirt and then you wet it and tamp it until it gets to 80%. Of firmness, mm-hmm. and then you put in the next 2 feet, and so yeah. it's a painstaking process. But the reason why Gene Wilder was so happy to sign that permission slip was every time it rained, that hillside would wash into his driveway.
So he knew that was going to fix it.
Oh yeah, which helped, because when I went to his next door neighbor, who was, I mean, I can say out loud because he'll admit he's a scoundrel. He's not, he has a bark and a bite that are quite ferocious. And when I went to him and said, would you mind signing this? He started yelling and calling me names. And I just said, well, Gene Wilder just said that this hillside washes into your driveway. So doesn't that upset you? Why, yes, it does. I said, this is the only way you'll stop it, is if we do the building. And he'd said, and then he begrudgingly signed it. And then 7 years later, I get a call from one of my favorite decorators, because there's a surly client who wants to hire an architect, and they think it should be me. And lo and behold, it's that particular scoundrel. So, and then I think I shared with you that I did my best to always come from the other side. So I never, ever passed Gene Wilder's house because I was afraid I was going to get embarrassed again. And it was, I don't know, maybe it takes at least 8-9 months to draw, get it perfect, and get a building permit. And so it was about a year and a half later that I'd lost my recollection of what I should be doing and accidentally turned left. And there in his mailbox was Gene Wilder. I thought he wouldn't recognize me. I thought I'd drive by but no, he saw me and he made me stop. And I then said, I'm heading to the Beverly Center. I know exactly where I'm going. And he said, no, I just wanted to tell you that the last time I saw you was a month before Gilda passed. And when she asked why I was giggling after I left the door, I reminded her about the time we were joking with you about Beverly Drive versus Beverly Boulevard. And that was the last time she really laughed before she passed. And after all that, you know, it's funny. This Elon Musk story is very interesting because it's a house that I designed 30 years ago. Though now people that I have known all my life, oh, David, such a great house. You're so talented. It's like, I am the same guy I have been. I'm even a better architect than I was 30 years ago. Why are you telling me this now? Nothing's different. And I realize what makes me different is that I don't mind losing the profits by putting extra time into drawing it and getting it just right so that I can be really proud that this is the best I can possibly do. There might be other situations that are as good, but I don't know if you're going to get better than this.
Yeah.
And by the same token, if you do it long enough, the stories can get very interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you've got a mile of stories. One quick question on this house. Did they do any big remodels to that house over the last 30 years, or is it pretty much the same as it was when you left it? Do you know any information on that? Because I know you haven't been through it. So
it's funny that you should say that. I had another interesting situation come up in that. I think about it must have been 20 years ago. A very large residential architecture firm evidently, for some reason, went on my website and saw a picture of this house and said, you cannot publish this house on your website because we are the architects of it. And I said, would you like to see the documentation of the building permits? Would you like me to tell you where the throne room is? And more importantly, when we were measuring the size of this house, we decided not to measure by how many bedrooms and how many bathrooms, but by how many garbage disposals this house had. And nice. I can already tell you off the top of my head, it's 12.
Wow.
So it turns out that this firm had done what they called a very expansive renovation.
Okay.
I have to tell you, I can barely tell the difference on the outside. It might be different on the inside. I've never been in, but yes. And I believe, if I'm correct, whoever did that stayed in there for about 8 to 10 years and then sold it to Elon Musk. Did he do anything? I have no idea.
Sure, sure. I mean, I saw some pictures because I kind of did some diving in on it. It looked like there's a brick ceiling in a kitchen and some things like that are kind of interesting, but
that was something that we had done. Yeah,
it's cool. I mean, there's a lot of cool features to this, and to be honest, you know, it's just a beautiful classic house. And so for me well, I can't really tell what in just the pictures that I saw, what would be new and what wouldn't be, because the stuff that I see is not by any means what I would call trendy. More with David Applebaum, Architect of the Stars, when Around the House returns. For more information about this and everything else, head to aroundthehouseonline.com and make sure and catch the rest of the interview in our midweek special podcast. We'll be back after these messages. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking Around the House with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, make sure you head over to Facebook Around the House with Eric G and head over to our website, aroundthehouseonline.com. And then take a listen to the podcast this next week because we will put the extended hours of this interview with David Applebaum right up on the page and you'll be able to hear all of it right there. Enough of me talking. Let's get back to David Applebaum, Architect of the Stars. For me as well, I can't really tell what in just the pictures that I saw, what would be new and what wouldn't be, because the stuff that I see is not by any means what I would call trendy.
Yeah, so I'm not going to mention the name of the firm because I'm kind of upset with them for the way they yelled and screamed. And then I said, you know what? If you have a problem, I can prove what I did on the project. So, you know, if you want to say that you remodeled it, that's fine. If you want to say it's completely different, that's fine. But what's standing up there is basically, you know, you try to figure out how to get a stretch limousine to be able to get up that hill and make a turnaround and get back down, and how you did it. And I'll tell you how I did it and we can compare notes. And then they shut up. But they are, the thing about it that I find the most interesting is if you were to tell me that Elon Musk was going to buy a house that I designed on Chillon Road, it would have been the house that the scoundrel did, because it's very modern.
Yep.
It's basically a gallery with unbelievable art. The art is worth more than the house. And a house in Bel Air, that house has got to be worth $30 to $40 million, would be my guess. So, I mean, he's got... That would have been an Elon Musk house to me, not the traditional. I mean, this is a home that the client said, I want this to look like an American version of an English manor, so that when the royals, when the princes come, and they were, you know, children at the time, I want them to feel like this is their American home.
Nice.
So I of all of the houses that I've ever done, this is one of them that I would have never guessed somebody like Elon Musk would have bought. And I can only say he bought it because it's on a nice street in a nice part of town. And it is very secure.
Oh, yeah. And that's probably one of the reasons why I bought it. And then he turned around, if I remember from that interview, listening to that podcast, that he also bought a bunch of the properties, you know, including – you know, Gene Wilder's house, but he bought a few more in that neighborhood around there just so he could have a little bit more control of the property around him.
We live in a world, and I've actually noticed this for the 40 some odd years that I've been doing this. The people that have a lot of money have a lot of money. Yep. And for instance, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he doesn't live there now, so it doesn't really matter. Arnold Schwarzenegger bought not just the house he lived in, but both his neighboring houses, the three houses across the street, and the three houses that were behind him, and then was able to convince the city to privatize the street. In other words, the street became his property and was under his care, which he did. Because paparazzi are not allowed on private property.
Yep. That's trespassing.
And it kept them from taking pictures as they were coming in and out of the driveway. And the kids were little at the time, and I actually think that was probably one of the top 10 parental moves that I think he and Maria made. And they probably made a bunch of good ones, but I thought it takes somebody with the kind of power and money that he has to be able to pull that off, because you couldn't do it and I couldn't do it.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. And that's just a whole world outside of where you and I live. But you end up having to go through and navigate that on a fairly consistent basis with your clients.
And And it's funny, a lot of times it depends on who the client is, because a lot of them would say to me, okay, let's now combine this into one property. And I would say, maybe not.
Yeah.
And the reason would be because someday they'll want to sell it. Someday they might want to sell one portion. They might want to deed one to one of their children or something like that. Because what they would want to do is now tear all the houses down.
Yep.
And maybe build an office, mm-hmm. or build a couple of guest houses there. So I would then find a way to stay within whatever the standards were for that zoning area, and build what it is that they would want while still maintaining the rules. So that way, the property, if there were six properties, they remain six properties.
Wow. Okay, that makes sense. You know, I had an experience like that once. This was probably 15 years ago, and I'll be a little discreet on the location because it's, I think the people still live there. But long story short, I got invited by a contractor to come out and look at a house on Lake Washington Boulevard in an area called Medina, which is right down the street from where Bill Gates' house is in the outside of Seattle. And so I show up over there, and they said, hey, you know, you're going to look for this opening, a hedge, and gave me some landmarks. There's no address out there. There's just a key card box and a gate. And don't be freaked out with the guards inside, but just, you know, get through security and meet me inside the gate at the first house, because we're going to talk about a kitchen remodel. So I show up, and I mean, I'm getting sniffed by the guard dogs. They're putting mirrors under the car, looking to see what's on my car. They're taking pictures of my driver's license. And these guys are all full on tactical, you know, SWAT team gear just to get onto the compound of three homes. And we ended up turning the project away because this group, and it was in a trust basically, wanted to remodel the one house. And they wanted to have the kitchen done in 30 days.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's another typical move, yeah.
And the contractor was so, you know, it was one of those projects where they went, you know, okay, what's it going to cost? And, you know, I said, well, for us to get custom cabinets, it's going to take more than 30 days. And the contractor looks at me and goes, let me know what it's going to cost. Okay. So I went back and of course met with the CEO of the cabinet company that I worked with and said, you know our lead times? And I said, he didn't ask that. He said, he needs a number. What's it going to cost? And of course he smiled and went, all right, what's overtime going to cost for the factory? You know, and what are they going to do to get knocked out? Which was good. But I think there were just so many unknowns, and the contractor eventually walked away from that project, but come to find out later, that was Bill Gates' father's place. And that was a place that this wasn't even a residence that he was living in. I think he was living on another house on the compound there, because there's a number of houses on it. But they were using this house for net meetings and stuff. And there were rooms set up in the house of what would have been bedrooms were kind of online meeting rooms for people to be, you know, in some gaming chairs and stuff that were just outlandish. But it was an office complex on the condo that was in the house.
You have to wonder why 30 days. I have been in a situation like that, but there was a reason. A very high-powered client bought a property at Malibu on the beach in December. And the comment was, I want to be in by July 4th.
All right.
So I had to design it and have it built. And it basically got torn down to studs. So the good news was we weren't going to add, because the Coastal Commission would have taken too long.
Yeah.
We weren't going to add anything to the exterior. It had to work within the inside. So that helped. But we had a contractor who basically told every single trade, I don't want a price. I want a schedule. And I don't care what your number is. You have to meet that schedule. And if you have to put in 40 electricians to get it done in 7 days,
do it.
I want 40 electricians. We had 120 people at a time sometimes, and this is not a big site. We had 7 porta potties. We had so many people there.
And it's so hard because you got every trade tripping over the top of each other.
Well, I will say this. I will say this. This particular contractor, Peter McCoy, he's the guy to ask to do something like this because he's the guy who's got the people.
More with my friend David Applebaum, architect of the stars, after these important messages. Stay tuned. Let's get back out to David Applebaum, architect of the stars.
This particular contractor, Peter McCoy, he's the guy to ask to do something like this because he's the guy who's got the people, and his superintendent was amazing, and there was not one misstep, and we actually moved in early. And I'm proud to say the superintendent, he was a Coast Guard, National Guard person, and he got called in for a week of duty. Couldn't get out of it.
Yep.
And he said to me, David, can you be here every single day? Because everybody knows I was there every day anyway.
Yeah.
But can you be here longer? Because when you have that few little time, I charged accordingly as well. But I was the contractor's superintendent for about a week.
Nice.
And he said, you're going to have one problem. He says, our framer is very emotional and he's going to lose it at least once during this week. And this is what you do. You let him lose it. He will go to his car and he'll start sulking. Give him 10 minutes and then walk over there and tell him how much you need him, how much we all love him. How much we all respect him and we can't do this job without him. Come on, dude, let's go. And then it happened once. That's exactly what I did. And it turned out fine.
Nice. Well, Peter McCoy Construction is a brand down in Southern California that is hard to beat. I mean,
that's
a big gun down there.
I'm not going to say that there aren't other companies that can do a house as large as what they do. But we were having an interesting, when the project was over, he said, David, I don't care what the size of the project is. If you're designing it, I want to bid it. He said, why do people think I only do houses that are larger than 15,000 square feet? And I just said, Peter, the difference between being a contractor who can handle a $100,000 job and a $500,000 job is a different kind of mentality and a different kind of makeup of the firm. The one that can do a $500,000 to $1 million house, again, the same thing. From $1 million to $2 or $3 million, again, you need a different setup. I said, there's nobody set up as well as you to do a house of that size than you. You have the right subcontractors. You have the right people.
Yeah.
I said, if you want to do a $2 million house, I'd love to have you bid it, because here's the funny thing about Peter. He's not more expensive than everybody else.
No, he's just a better conductor for that symphony that you're trying to put together.
He's very fair. And I have contractors that look. If I'm doing a 10,000 square foot house, Peter gets called. I don't care if you think you know who's a better contractor. He's getting called. If you're doing a $2 million house, you know, I certainly would call Peter, but there's a couple of other contractors, you know, that a perfect example of that is I needed a bidder. I had a $150,000 project and I needed a bidder because I needed three bids and one of them dropped out. And I went to a neighbor, seemed like a good guy, but you know, he had the water ski boat, he had the motorcycles. And I thought, this guy just plays and he's, but I need a third bid. And so I did what I always do. I asked to see one of his projects. And when we knocked on the door, not the wife, the husband hugged him.
Nice.
And they started talking about the kids. And I'm looking, and they did a $150,000 remodeling. I can't tell where the old house stopped and the new house started. And nice. Then I did some of the things that I do where I check the cabinets. If the kitchen cabinet, you know this as well as anybody, you pull the drawer out, you rock it to the left and the right.
Yep.
If it's tight, these guys know what they're doing.
Yeah. No question.
And he checked all the boxes. And so I was very happy he actually got the job and did something really interesting.
Oh, man. Sorry about the cliffhanger. Gonna have to let you go. We're out of time. Tune into the podcast this week on Wednesday so you can actually hear the rest of the interview. For Dane Vauder, I'm Eric G., and you're listening to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2020 Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House. Hey folks, Jim here, producer of Around the House Show. You're loving the audio tips right now, but here's something new. Our full-length episodes and expert interviews are now on YouTube as video, so you can watch the demos, tool close-ups, and guest interviews, or just hit play and listen like a regular podcast. Just search Around the House Show on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, and turn on notifications. It's free. And you'll get the best of both worlds, visual how-tos when you want them, audio when you're on the go. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app too. Thanks. And now back to the show.